A good reputation might be a government contractor's most valuable asset. That makes maintaining integrity one of the most important activities. So says Tim Sullivan, a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn, and author of the blog, A Government Contractor's 10 Commandments. Today he tackles the 8th commandment, Thou shalt maintain thy integrity. It might seem like common sense, but it's impossible to overstate the importance.
It's something that you can't remind people enough about as they move through their careers. And at the various stages that you're in, as you see from this particular commandment, that you have different roles. And let's just start with older people, the leaders in their groups, whether you're a general manager or a GS-15 or a partner in a law firm dealing with government contractors. Your younger people are watching everything you do. And it is very important that you never send them the wrong message when it comes to ethical, honest behavior. You just can't stress it enough. And as you and I have heard from day one, actions speak louder than words. So no matter what someone writes, no matter what someone says, it's how he or she behaves that is going to have the most significant impression on the people watching him or her.
Jack London, the retired chairman of CACI, has a book out in which he talks about character. And he says, you know, character is important to the integrity of a company, and it starts at the top. And so that's really what integrity is a matter of character.
It is. And as you know, in this particular commandment, I end with a quote from a New Yorker article that Margaret Talbot wrote, it's almost 10 years old now, about Justice Scalia and how his dad used to say, his dad I think was a bricklayer, but he said, brains are like muscles. You can hire them by the hour. The only thing that's not for sale is character. And that is something that parents have to stress for kids. But once again, the kids, as you know as a parent, they're watching everything you do. And Jack London is a great example of someone who has retired from one of the top positions in the business, the way he built that company. And his reputation for integrity and honesty was just sensational. That's the kind of person you need running your organization.
And so how can that take some practical situations? In other words, let me posture one. Suppose for some reason FedEx makes a mistake or somebody makes a mistake and you as a company receive a competitor's bid package. I guess probably they're all electronic nowadays, but I think it's still an instructive example if how a company would react if it received someone's bid package, either electronically or by, you know, a FedEx mix-up.
It's a great example, and it's happened. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that don't get reported very often, so you don't have more than anecdotal evidence in these things, but I've seen a number of situations where when someone figures out what he or she is reading, they talk to their boss, they contact the company who inadvertently sent it to them, and they say, we're not touching it. What do you want us to do with it? And usually that company will send someone over right away to pick it up or whatever it is to make sure it's destroyed. But this does go on. People make mistakes. They get packages they're not supposed to get. They get emails they're not supposed to get. And that is a fantastic example of the kind of action that speaks very loudly to an organization's character.
And I imagine there are some internal things that might be a little bit more subtle. For example, in the preparation of bids or in the preparation of, you know, responses to requests for proposals and that kind of thing, the way people think about the customer, the way they talk about the customer, and the things they feel that they can sell to the customer can probably say a lot about integrity also.
Well, that's true. And as a boss, as a manager in any of these organizations, whether it's a private contractor or a government agency, regardless of where you are, when you pick up on the idea that someone is going to do something less than totally straightforward, make a move on someone that might not be a proper move, you got to cut it off at the knees. You've just got to stop it right there so that people see that that is not something your organization will accept. And as I make this point in this particular article, one unethical move can destroy even the most traditional and longstanding of relationships. So whatever you think the short-term gain is going to be because of that move, it's never worth the long-term risk.
And what are some examples of the kind of thing that can happen, that you've seen happen, that can destroy that relationship quickly?
Well, you put your finger on it just a second ago by getting something you're not supposed to get from the other side and resisting the temptation to go to your boss and say, now we've got them, we can underbid their price or something. You've got to blow the whistle on that right away and straighten it out. That's a great example. But also, if you hear your people preparing for a negotiation, for example, with a particular agency, and talking about things you're going to hide from them, or talking about ways you can fudge the numbers, that's the kind of discussion that can get you in big trouble with the U.S. government. Anybody who's been in this business knows that, because you're flirting with a False Claims Act possibility down the road, for example. So you've got to make sure that people understand that honesty, this sounds not sound like a Boy Scout, honesty is always the best policy. Even if it caused some pain, it might cause some pain in the process, it beats the heck out of misleading someone or outright lying just to avoid the pain in the short term.
We're speaking with Tim Sullivan, a partner at Thompson Coburn and author of The Ten Commandments for Federal Contractors. What about a situation where it could be another contractor or sub or something, or maybe even someone from the government? It happens occasionally, and you are given a proposition, you know, a kickback type of idea, some sort of unethical offer. And how do you know whether it's just enough to say no thanks and walk out of the room, or raise the bar by blowing the whistle, because just having been party to that conversation could get you in trouble down the line, even if your intentions were good?
Once something's been said, you can't unring that bell. That's what we always say when you talk about getting inadmissible evidence in front of a jury, for example. Once they've heard it, you can't unring the bell. So no matter what a judge says, they're always going to remember what that was. That becomes a real problem. In the practical example that you cited there, the myth here, myth number 8, basically talks about the steps you have to take when you hear it. Now, here's the problem. The problem really is going to be, how good is your early warning system? If you're a 23-year-old out of college and this is your first job, you might not recognize an ethical problem if it comes up and confronts you. For example, let's say a boss says, for the next 2 weeks, Charlie or Charlotte, I want you to bill your time to contract 124 instead of contract 128. And yet you know that the work you're doing is for contract 128. Now, does a 23-year-old right out of college say, I'm not going to do that, that's mischarging, that's fraud? Probably not. So you have to, when you're confronted with these situations, depending on your experience and how early you recognize that it's a potential problem, make sure you understand it. If you're convinced there's a problem, go to the right person within your organization to talk to them about it in confidence so that something can be done if there is indeed a problem. If there is no designated person within an organization, as all the contractors are supposed to have, and most agencies have ethics people as well, then you go to a trusted colleague or supervisor and talk to them about what to do. And usually he or she's going to have some advice on who to take it to. And if none of those things work, you go to your lawyer in-house or out-house to bounce this off them before you move down that path. These are very difficult situations, because everybody wants to be seen as a team player. That's how you get promoted in most organizations, whether you're private or public. And if all of a sudden you're questioning something, then you put yourself at risk. And that's why it's so difficult. And so, really, you sweat through these situations when you recognize what's potentially an unethical or improper act.
And sometimes there are commercial arrangements which can be maybe legal but aren't all that ethical in terms of rebates and different terms and conditions that could be available to, say, from subcontractors to try to get business with a prime. And you've got to be on the lookout for those, too.
Well, that's right. The biggest problem in the subcontracting world is what we call kickbacks. And there's an anti-kickback statute, and this is something the government contracts industry, tries to educate people on all the time. But they're still out there. We read about them in the newspaper several times a year, and you can only assume that there are plenty others going on that we don't read about. The government and the prosecutors have figured out these kickbacks a long time ago, and it is simply not the way to do business. This myth starts with the point that your reputation is your most valuable possession in the business world. And that's absolutely true in the government contracts world. whether I am seen as shifty, maybe sleazy, maybe easily persuaded if I'm plied with a few drinks. Those are the kinds of things that lead to damaging reputations and get you in trouble. And companies are working very hard to make sure this is not going to be representative or characteristic of their employees.